Well, this is our last week in our series. In the last week of our series, only 4 weeks. Try not to drag it out too long in case you got bored. Past 4 weeks, we've been talking about what Paul says to us in the first chapter, the third chapter of Colossians, the first 17 verses. We've been talking about the new self. Paul talks about an old self and a new self. This is not the first time he's talked about it. He talks about the old self in Romans. But in this particular verse, in this particular letter, these words that he says to these people give us a little bit more information about what the old self looks like, what the new self looks like, how those things interact with each other, what we look like apart from one or the other, if that makes sense. And you don't know it, but you've been waiting for this week. You don't know that because it's this week. The new self, if you've been with us, and if you haven't, that's fine. You can run back through those verses through the first, because this week we're going to be in the last few verses, 15, 16, and 17, I believe. You can read through that really quickly. We've talked a lot about what the new self looks like, what the mindset of the new self looks like, what the behaviors of the new self, because that I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to go home from church feeling good. I like to go home from church with a new idea, but I don't like to change. I don't like the idea that something I have to do different. The new self comes with a different way of thinking, a different way of behaving, and a different way of feeling. It's very interesting because we talked last week, maybe the week before that, about how that works. Because what we want is to feel it. Let me feel different, then I'll do different, and then ultimately I'll think differently. Isn't that right? Because our feelings are the most potent thing in our lives. They're the thing that grabs our attention. They're the thing that runs us sometimes. They're the things that our emotions are the thing which fuel our decision making sometimes. That's not how it's supposed to be, but it is because we're human beings. And Paul says, think differently, do differently, and your feelings will come into line with that. Boo. I'm going to speak to him about that because I disagree. However, I also happen to know that he's right. That's how it works in my life. If I will think it and then I will do it, eventually my feelings just give up and go, fine, apparently you're not going to do what we feel, so we'll feel the way that you're doing. How about that? And we've talked about that, but this week, we're going to talk about how that's possible. It's great. Thank you, Pastor. Thanks for setting up this whole new self thing. How in the world does that happen? How in the world do we put on this new self? And we've been talking about it in the context and the analogy of software. Software is wonderful until it is not. Software is great until it needs an update or an upgrade. If you have a phone, you know what I'm talking about. If you have an Apple phone, you know what I'm talking about every 3 days. There's a new update. Your phone is slowing down. You need to install this. Lots of bug fixes and lots of new things, right? So that's what we've been talking about in the context of analogy. So we'll continue that today, and we'll talk about how it is that we do this. I don't know if you've noticed this about yourself yet, but you like to be in control of things. I don't know if you've noticed. Maybe you like to pretend to be one of those people who's not a control freak, but most of us are. But most of us, oh, no, I'm fine. And then, you know, when things don't go your way, you curse God in private. You don't want to do that publicly because that'd be terrible. But I don't know if you know, you like to be in control of things. You like to determine as much as you can how your life goes. We all do. We all do. Don't feel like I'm singling you out. I'm standing up here under that same conviction. I like to be in charge. My problem is I like to be in charge of my spontaneity. I don't like to have calendars or to-do lists. I don't like that stuff. I like to just try to freewheel everything by the seat of my pants. That's a terrible way to live your life. You miss all of like the anxiety up front of having to write things down. You miss that anxiety, but then the anxiety's on the back end when you've forgotten, you've left behind, you have to make up for. When you live that kind of lifestyle, I'm sorry becomes just an everyday thing that you say to anybody who walks, people you don't even know. Let me just tell you ahead of time, I'm sorry for letting you down. I know we don't know each other, but I'm going to do that. We like to be in control of things because it's part of being human. Everybody goes through seasons where we feel like it doesn't matter what we do, everything is out of control. We just react to whatever comes next. Everybody experiences that. If you haven't, then you have some blessing from God that I've never experienced, so pray for me. Most people go through seasons where it just feels like it just spirals out of control and you're running to catch up with your life. But when we can, we like to manage and activate and arrange and prepare and execute. When we can, because it's good to be the overseer of your life. It is good to be in charge. It's good to be in control. And we're not complete. completely opposed to change. Most of us are. We're not completely opposed to change. The younger that you are, the better the change is. I mean, change every 5 minutes. Change the thing that I'm watching. If you can change that image every 3 to 5 seconds, I'll feel better about my life. The older you get, as it goes, the less favorable to change you are. But we're not completely opposed. We can be flexible and we can redirect and we can reposition when we have to. But wouldn't it be nice, and I mean really, really nice, if someone would ask our permission before they bring something into our lives that requires change? Wouldn't it be nice if every time God was going to put something into motion or allow something into our lives that was going to push us to a different place or a different level, he would say, Ben, I would like to have a conversation with you today. There's something I want to do in your life, but I want to make sure you're okay with it. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I could be like, tell me more, God. Well, I would like to take you out into the desert. No, sir. Nope. We're done. You don't even have to. Nothing. But on the other side of that, don't want it. Thank you. I'll stay in my mediocrity right now because I don't want the desert. Don't push me. Don't challenge me. I like this. This is comfortable. Wouldn't it be nice if your boss would just say, hey, before we make this sweeping change, which is going to directly affect you and your salary, I would like to know how you feel about that. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our really important relationships, people came to us and said, I want you to know that tomorrow I'm going to act crazy. I'm just going to go completely off the rails. I'm going to be angry at you for something that happened 22 years ago. Is that all right? I mean, how are you feeling about that? Wouldn't that be nice? If somebody would just, because we want the authority to say yes or no, to say okay or probably not. We want our permission to be asked. We like that. We learned that as kids. You learned that younger, didn't you? There was a person in authority. When you were told to go a place or do a thing, you went that place or you did a thing. If you didn't, there were almost always negative repercussions. I was taught that before I could go and get something, if it's dinner time and you want to go and get more milk, fine. But if it's in the middle of the day and you're 7 years old and you eat like a wild animal, if you want something out of the snack area, and you, there's never vegetables, right? Mom, can I have some more broccoli? You wouldn't have to ask. My mother would have passed out if she came and I was in front of the TV with a bowl of broccoli going, hum, hum, hum. It was never that. If I wanted to give one of those, little Debbie, listen, little Debbie is my sister from another mister. You understand what I'm saying? Little Debbie is, when I meet that woman, I'm going to be like, hail, and it's so good to meet you. If I wanted something little Debbie had to offer, I had to ask. If I wanted to go outside, if I wanted to go, you can't just disappear. You have to, am I making sense? Are you getting my analogy here? You got to ask permission. There's somebody who's in authority, and you have to ask their permission before you can do a thing. And don't we wish that when we're in authority over ourselves and our own lives, before something went crazy, someone would ask our permission if they could implant that. And we would have the right to say, absolutely not. It's wonderful that software works that way. It's wonderful that software does that. You do not have access to that file. You are not an administrator in my life. You have to ask my permission for that. I'm not going to let you corrupt my hard drive. Absolutely not. Now, Apple makes sure their stuff doesn't work if you say no. I think that's funny. If you tell an Apple product no long enough, then that product just finally goes, okay. And just your phone stops, your iPad is, your computer will, after a while. That's just how they do things. So eventually you have to say yes and then deal with all the changes we've talked about in the last month. Isn't it great that the new self doesn't just push its way into your life? That God doesn't just make an executive decision for you and just go new. Now, I sort of wish sometimes that that would happen. Sometimes I wish he would just sit me down and go, you're going to wear this whether you like it or not. We're doing this. I can hear my mama's voice. We are doing this, and you can set your attitude or you can be miserable. What's it going to be, mister? Sometimes I wish that he would do that, but I'm also grateful that he's a God of relationship, that I'm not just some robot that he programs. We're going to talk about the new self. This is, go ahead and go to Colossians 3, and it is 15 through 17. We'll read these last three verses. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's beautiful, isn't it? The new software, the new self, the upgrade. You've seen this window before. If you've ever been on your laptop, if you've ever been on your PC, and something needs to change, you need to get a new thing, it has the decency and courtesy to ask you. New self is ready, and it absolutely is attainable. But I want you to read those words very carefully. Do you want to allow this? Something that I find absolutely unbelievable about the relationship that we have with our Creator. God spoke everything that we know into existence. He spoke it all. When it all went off the rails, he left heaven and his Son came down and gave his life so that all could be made right. And the love was so strong, not even death could hold it down. And Jesus came back in a new form and a new body and preached and taught and met with people. And then he left. And when he left, the Holy Spirit of God, of Jesus Christ, came to live in the people who would give him the right and the opportunity. We serve, we live under an all-powerful, all-knowing, always-present God who will not do something if you don't give him the opportunity. This new self is available to you, but you have to give the Spirit permission. That blows my mind. Because I don't want that kind of power. Yes, I want to run my own life. I want to decide when I go to bed and when I wake up. Thanks, Hudson. I'll never wake up after 5 a.m. ever again. Appreciate that, son. Because now I'm programmed that way. When he's 19 and gone, I'll still wake up at 5 a.m. Fine. I'm fine with that. I want the right to say where I go, when I go, what I do, when I do it, what I eat, when I eat it. I want, this is me we're talking about. I want that authority. But when it comes to this, I want God to do this. I don't want to have to say, I don't want to have to be responsible for the decision, because with the new self comes responsibility. And I want to just say, God made me do that. God made me be a better person. I didn't have any choice. I didn't have any control. I wanted to just put it on me so that then when I take the new self off, it's not my fault. When I step back into the old because it's more comfortable, more familiar, and God knows the people around me deserve it. They deserve the old me. I'm going to give you a dose of old me because you deserve it. I want to say that it's not my fault. I didn't ask for the new to come. I wanted to live somewhere in between, so I could be good to the good people and regular to the regular people. You have to make the choice. Let. Did you hear that word? He said, let the peace of Christ rule in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That is such, it's a three-letter word. It is such a small word. But we know in our word, that we understand that our words have the power to bind or to loose. Did you know that? Do you know that the words that you speak have a spiritual power to either bind or to loose things? Something that you can do with Scripture is you can read it in the negative. Okay? Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your heart. What happens if I don't? If you don't let the peace of Christ rule in your life, if you don't loose it by your words, then you will bind yourself to internal distress. Do you understand that? It doesn't come. These bodies, these souls are constantly soaking in. They're like a vacuum. They are constantly trying to fill themselves. If you do not loose peace in your life, then you will bind to internal distress. That's what happens. That's what happens. If you aren't thankful, because notice he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your life and be thankful. Remember that? If you're not thankful, if you don't loose thanksgiving and gratitude into your life, then you bind yourself to misery. Anybody know a miserable person? It does not matter what happens in their life. I won the lottery, but the government took half of it. What? Supposed to get $500 million. All I got was $250. Are you joking? Nothing ever good happens for them because they discount every positive, because they're so miserable, because they have no peace and no gratitude. If you don't let the word of Christ dwell within you, if you don't loose the word of God into your life, then you will bind yourself to whatever decides to dwell there instead. I will say that to you again. If you are not filled with, if the word of Christ, if the word of God does not dwell within you, then there's an empty home, and whatever you will allow will move in and take up residence. Insecurity, bitterness, frustration, fear, name all the negative stuff that you want. Isn't it so interesting that the good stuff just doesn't come because we're human beings? I'm not going to let Christ dwell, but hopefully satisfaction will come and live. Nope, satisfaction is not even in this neighborhood. If Christ isn't living in the house, satisfaction is somewhere else where Jesus is. It's challenging. I think truly that the enemy wants nothing more than for us to refuse the download. He doesn't want the update. If we'll refuse the new self, then when he messes with us, he does not have to contend with the peace of Christ or the word of Christ within us. Doesn't take much at all. And that's wonderful for him, because then he doesn't have to flex at all. Then we will stay locked into negative ways of thinking, poor decision-making patterns, and we will be run rampant by our emotions. We'll be at the mercy of that. And all he's got to do every once in a while is just go, that's it. All he's got to do is speak a little bit of negativity. All he's got to do is remind you every once in a while of something dumb that you did, or how you're a victim, or how nothing is ever enough, or how people love everybody else but not you. All he's got to do every once in a while is just go, because you don't have the new self. You didn't say yes to the update. You didn't allow that to come and be who you are. But if you will, if you will, let the peace of Christ, and when I say the peace of Christ, remember his words, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And if you really want to melt your brain, he said that to them before the crucifixion. Explain that to me. My peace, pre-crucifixion peace, they haven't come hunting for me yet. The people with the torches and the swords are not here. They're not going to drag me off and in a kangaroo court convince me of things which are impossible because of my character and nature. They haven't yet beaten me half to death. They haven't yet stood me up in front of my people, and embarrassed me with ridicule and tormented me with words. They haven't made me carry the instrument of my own demise up a hill to be nailed to. They haven't mocked me and spat on me. They haven't done any of those things, but I give you my peace. Because it's a peace that transgresses your circumstances, situations. It's a peace that passes your intellectual understanding, because it comes despite whatever's occurring. I leave you my peace, because my peace is going to carry me through something you've never seen before. If you will let that peace rule in your heart, then nothing external can make you do or make you feel anything. We love that language. Well, that really made me feel. Nope. You chose to feel. What? No, that person said something and I had a reaction. That was your reaction. Well, that's going to, that now see, I have to do that. They did that, and now it's making me have to, nope, no. Can't nobody make you feel some type of way about anything. No one can make you do, and I disclaimer, yes, your job can make you move. Yes, your kids can make you crazy. Yes, there are things that can happen that are out of our control, but truthfully, deep inside of here, if you let the pre-crucifixion peace of Christ rule and reign in your heart, then nothing external can make you do or feel anything. And Paul says, by the way, that we're called to that peace in one body. I'll read that again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Why does he throw that out there? So that you understand that you are not alone. You're not called to be some kind of icon of peace that nothing touches you. You're not supposed to just be by yourself, just on an island. I will stand here at my peace. Nothing's ever going to touch me, but if things go wrong, I guess I just have to buck up under my own strength. We are called to peace in one body so that when the peace begins to evaporate, erode, when the outside stuff begins to mess with us, we can look around at the people around us and go to somebody in the body and say, stand with me, I need peace. Amen. We can look around at the people around us and realize we're not the only folks without it. We're not the only folks who keep trying to take control of our lives back. We're not the only people who keep trying to shrug off the new self and take the old back on and just be miserable with it. We can look around and go, everything is going to be okay because God is here and He is with us, and I am not alone in this. I don't have to deal with this by myself. If you let His peace, if you let the Word of Christ dwell within you, then it will reject anything else. It will reject and evict anything else that's trying to live there. Test me. I dare you to go home and really start pursuing the Word of God. And what you are going to discover is whatever else is living in here, the Word of God will come in and push out. It will say, no room for you here. You don't belong here. Word of God is truth. You're not true. You're a feeling. You're a memory. You're a false assumption or an understanding. Get out. This is my house. The Word will evict anything that seeks to take up your space and come and live in your temple. If you will let it dwell within you, then it will get rid of the junk. If you are filled with the Word, what else can... What else? There's no room.
Amen.
There's no room if you're filled with the Word.
Amen.
And the Word of Christ comes with wisdom so that you will be able to help somebody else who may need guidance or encouragement. That's why He says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. Admonishing. Boo. That's an old school word, but we all know what that means. Don't you do that. Admonishing comes with the pointed finger. And I know that when I point one finger at one person, I have three more pointing back at me. That never comes to my mind when I go to point. I always point first and then later I'm sorry for it. You know what I'm saying? That has never stopped me from pointing. I don't just point upward so that it's not pointing at me. I'm like, ha-ha, one to God and three down. Admonishing is not a great word, and it might have a negative connotation for you because being admonished literally means, in the original language, to be corrected or to be warned. We're okay with that as long as it's in the context of warning and encouraging other people, of warning and correcting other folks. I will admonish Hudson all day long. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be, son. Why? It comes out of my mouth because I'm your father. And I say so. So sorry to tell you that, son, because I hated hearing that. But I will admonish anybody who is over which my authority grants me, right? Anybody who's under my authority, I will admonish and correct all day long. But when someone tries to tell me that I'm not living right, I'm not even talking about a church. I'm talking about just out there in everyday life. Somebody's trying to say, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that. Or have you thought about that? That might not be a good decision. You need to be careful. I might feel some type of way and I might not have a good reaction. No, thank you. I don't want your advice. I like to call it unsolicited feedback. The feedback that you are currently giving me, I did not solicit. So you may put it back in your mouth and go your way. I may feel some type of way about that. But then if somebody in the church tries to tell me that I'm not acting like a Christian or that my life doesn't reflect the price that was paid for me or they see some type of division in my heart or in my mind, I'm going to have a really bad response to that. Who are you to judge me? Standing on some high place, on some high horse. I know you and I know your life is not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Let's just both agree to not be perfect and you keep your mouth shut. Who are you to judge me? Even as I say those words, some of you guys feel that defensiveness, right? Because you've either had it happen to you or you're imagining that moment where somebody in the church tries to come and tell you something about your life and you're like, let them come and tell me. I have pre-prepared responses for your hypocrisy. Come on. Don't miss what Paul is saying here. He absolutely uses the word admonishing, which does mean to correct or to warn. But then he says, admonishing each other with what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The scripture, this scripture is not about judging or about judgment. It's about encouragement. It's about accountability. And it's about a word that we use in the church, which means building up. It's about edifying. The edification of means to build somebody up in a very positive way. If you're sharing your life with someone looking for help, and they say, well, you need to pray more. Your faith isn't where it should be. Do you even read your Bible? You're not going to feel great about that. Are there some truths to those things? Probably. Maybe your faith is low. Maybe you've allowed your outside circumstances to cloud the spirit within you. Maybe you've backed away from your Bible reading. Is that helpful, though? Does that build you up? No. That points you to your failings. But if in that moment of vulnerability or need, someone says to you, you know the Lord is your shepherd. And he says, you shall not be in want. He will make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. He restores your soul. Try to be mad at that. Well, thank you for that. And I will look forward to those streams and peace that you speak of. There's power in those words. There's power. There's a relationship in that. If you see somebody in your community and they are struggling, you say, you know, though Satan should buffet, though trials may come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded your helpless estate and has shed his own blood for your soul. If you don't know the words of that hymn, shame on you. It is well with my soul. There is power in that. Try to get angry about the blood of Christ being shed for you. Try to come back with some kind of retort or be frustrated. I will call upon your name, and I will keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. This is not about judgment. This is not about trying to correct people. Does correction have its place? You better believe it. But correction outside of encouragement can be judgment. That's not how I intended, Pastor. This person needs to get their life right. Congratulations, you're correct. Did they feel helped by you? Did they feel loved by you? Is that part of your new self? Or did it make you feel good to be able to look in somebody's life and say, this is where you're missing it? I'm not going to show you where I'm missing it, but man, it feels good to show you where you're missing it. Encourage one another. Admonish with wisdom. Teach. What you might find, because this is what he says. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness to your hearts and God. What you may find is that the thankfulness that Paul speaks of will begin to rise in your heart. No matter what your challenge is. You may find that your soul is beginning to sing with that person who's admonishing you for whatever they're admonishing you for. Or whomever you may be admonishing, whoever you're correcting. If there's words of life and words of truth, if there's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I'm willing to wager, and I know I'm not supposed to say that as a pastor in church, but I'm willing to bet you that something is going to begin to happen as your perspective begins to change and that thankfulness begins to increase in your life, and suddenly it's no longer about being judged. Now the two of you are singing praises to God no matter what you're experiencing. You might feel yourself begin to move out of that place of difficulty and challenge as your gratitude leads you toward the light of His presence. When that happens, when this process begins to take hold, when the people of God begin to take on the new self with this new way of thinking, behaving, and feeling, then we can say with assurance that last verse. You want to talk about a challenge? If you are looking to challenge yourself with some scripture, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever, all-encompassing, holistically, whatever you do every moment of the day, whatever you do in word or in deed, Whatever you say, whatever comes out of you, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. You want to talk about a filter to overlay your life and start making some changes? Why did you do that? Because I wanted to. Why did you say that? Because I was mad. Why did you go there? Because I'm grown and I decide. Did you say that as unto the Lord?
Absolutely not. I would never say that to God.
Did you go there as unto the Lord? Are you kidding? I was praying that the trumpet didn't blow in that moment and He came back and found me there. Did you do that thing in His name? No, I did that because I wanted to, because I needed something and I was willing to do whatever it took to get me what I needed. As the community of faith, as the body of Christ, steps out of, lays aside, rejects the old self, as we click yes for the update and the new self, that new way of thinking, the new way of doing, and the new way of feeling becomes to be who we are, then we can say for assurance, whatever I say, whatever I do, I will do it all in the name of the one who was sent to give His life for me. And then it says, giving thanks. I'm telling you, it's just, it happened a few months ago, this gratitude, this idea of gratitude, this idea of a seed that I won't allow to die, this gratitude that I can bring to live in me, this gratitude which says in whatever circumstance I'm experiencing, I am grateful to God because He's always here and always loving and always paying attention. No matter what challenge I'm facing, no matter what new thing tries to shove itself, people didn't ask for my permission and now they're doing things. Things are happening and nobody ran it by me first. God is doing things and He never said, how do you feel about this, before He took me down that road. But I'm grateful. As the new self begins to become who you are, then you can be thankful. You can be thankful because your mind is set on Him and your mouth seeks to worship Him and praise Him. And the places that you go should reflect Him in you. And the things that you do, people should see Him in you. And we can be thankful for that. Folks, that is the update. That's the new self. Do you want to allow? It's all about the permission. Are you willing to give it the permission to be you? Are you willing to give God? Are you willing to do the work of taking off? Paul says, lay aside the old self. And he says it like it's a coat. I come home and I just hang my coat up. And then it just sits there. Sometimes the old self is like, try to get me off. Can you imagine how weird it would be if you took your coat off and it just went whoop and came right back on you? 911. I'm sick. Somebody to come. My coat just jumped on me. Can you imagine if you tried to just put something down, if every time you kicked off your shoes, whoop, they jumped right back on you and laced themselves up? Sometimes that's how it feels when we try to put to death this old way of thinking and doing and feeling. But if you will get serious and you will give God the permission, then we can, by the grace of God, by the mercy, by His power, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, stop being the old way and take on the new way of love and of affirmation and encouragement and peace with His word indwelling us, and we can be thankful in everything. Do you want the new self? Because you have to decide. God Almighty, with His presence and His power in you through the Holy Spirit, will not make you do this thing. He won't. I wish you would twist my arm behind my back and just say, you are going to be the best version of yourself. Young man, choose your attitude. But He won't, because He wants the relationship. He wants me to want it, and He wants me to give Him permission. Where are you? Where are you in the process of dying to the old and accepting the new? Where are you? Do you slip in and out of that new self as it is comfortable for you, as it serves your purposes? Do you slip in and out of that new self depending on the group of people that you're with? Do you slip in and out of the new self depending on the person in relationship that you're with? That I don't want to give them the new self because they won't like that. I want to be my old self for that person. Are there parts of you that are old and parts that are new? We can push this analogy as far as we want. My point is this. Are you willing to let God do it? Are you willing to do the work to put on the new self? And if not, what is stopping you? Father, we have come this far in this journey through these few small scriptures. Such a powerful plan of action for us. Such an exciting opportunity for us. Some of us are foreseeing a future where there's no more misery. Now, to be careful, your word says that we will have trouble. But we don't have to be bound to misery if we will loose peace and thanksgiving. If we will let your word, if we will pursue it, if we will not allow Sunday to be the only time that we engage it, if we will dig for it, if we will expose ourselves to it, if we will open the doors of our temple to your word, it will evict and push out anything that's in there that doesn't belong there. If we will let. God, I pray that that process isn't occurring in each and every one of us. And if there's anybody in here who chooses the old self over the new, I pray right now very starkly, with great power, with great discernment, with great insight, you will show them what is happening, what it is that they need to do, and how it is that they can click the yes button, how it is that they can give you the permission, because they are the ones holding themselves back. They blamed their past. They blamed the people around them. They blamed their circumstances. They're just victims, victims, victims all the time. And God, that's hard, because sometimes we have been hard places and people have done things to us and we have things that we never deserved happen to us. But the truth is that if we will let you be bigger than you can be, I pray, God, that you would give anybody in here who has blocked the update, who has stopped the download, I pray that you would give them the courage to just simply let you have whatever it is and to engage the new self. And I pray, God, that when we deal with one another, I pray, Father, it wouldn't be with the finger of judgment pointed. I pray, God, we would never lift ourselves up to a place of sinlessness, because that's a lie. But it allows us to look down on our brothers and sisters. It allows us to look down and say, you need to come up here with me. God, may we never be those people. I pray, Father, that we would encourage one another. I pray that this would be a place where we could know we could come together and look around and go, I'm not alone, and I can lean on these people, and I can ask them to pray, and I can expect them to lift me up and to encourage me. And yes, sometimes there are things that have to change. Sometimes my decision-making process is off, but it's in the light of your love, through the context of relationship, that I'm going to come to terms with that, and I'm going to let this encouragement move me. I'm going to let your peace live in me. I'm going to let this new self be who I am. I pray, God, that that is real for each and every person in here. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.